tonight at 6 o'clock right on the button, and you are inside the cave with Saints Sports Weekly. Hello again, everyone. My name is Pat Hayes. Fred Smith is here with me tonight, and Fred, we're going to talk a little bit of wrestling for the Sports Weekly this week.
You know, we're going, we spent, I don't know how many hours together at the Fieldhouse the other night. We did a doubleheader, and guys our age probably shouldn't be allowed to do doubleheaders. The last half wasn't so good, but now we're going into wrestling. That's awesome, Pat, and to have our head coach here, I'm just so proud of this young man. So this is going to be a good night.
Well, head coach Derek Merry is with us tonight, and Derek, welcome back in. I know we talked a couple of months ago before the season even started, but season underway right now. Maybe give us a little bit of a recap of what's been going on.
Yeah, so first semester didn't go too bad for us. We're one of those winter sports. It's unique. We play first semester contests and second. So second half of our season is going to be a little shorter than the first. So we've actually done the bulk of our work first semester. So we came out of first semester 5 wins in the dual meet schedule, which for us, that's pretty good little performance there. So just a little under 500 in the dual schedule. Got our first guy ranked in the national rankings first semester, and got one more guy knocking on the door to that. So,
well, that's great.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit first from the team standpoint. I know having been a former golf coach, cross-country coach in my earlier lifetime, this is 40-odd years ago, you combine heavy individual sports into a team sport. And wrestling, in many ways, is like track in that you contribute to the team, but yet your individual performance is how you get to be an All-American. You understand?
Yeah, exactly.
And so having been AD when we first started wrestling with Gail was here, I want you to get into in a minute about these individuals, but tell us about, you know, we're such a young team in young duels. How are we faring against so many schools that are a little more established than us?
Yeah, so that line right there, the established programs, generally speaking, when we're losing dual meets, that's who we're losing to, right? These teams that have a little bit more depth than us. We have some guys that are going to win big matches, kind of regardless who we wrestle. The issue is taking our young guys, continuing to develop them, right, and getting them up to speed so that we can keep those dual meets a little bit closer,
that makes sense. When we last talked, you were really encouraged because this is, I don't know, third year, fourth year, I don't know what it is, but you've had to do a lot. You really felt for the first time we had some competition within weight classes.
Yep.
So how has that gone for you?
Pretty well. I mean, we're not quite there at every single weight class, right? But there are weight classes now where we're carrying, you know, 3 to 4 athletes even. And when you have that, then, you know, the wrestling room, the competitiveness of the wrestling room increases, and the practices get a little bit tougher, and you see guys make much larger jumps in their skill level. They arrive to that national level of competition much quicker if they've got to bang heads every day in practice with a really tough guy.
And then you have to get these guys some competition too that aren't maybe at the varsity level.
Yep, exactly.
I'm guessing that your schedule reflects that.
Yeah, definitely. Wrestling's interesting, much like what you were saying, where it's definitely an individual sport, and the team aspect of it is essentially a composite score of individual performances, right? Mm-hmm. So we have the option of going to tournaments that are designed specifically individual brackets,
right?
And then also scheduling tournaments that are team duels. So some of our guys that maybe not necessarily, you know, in the starting lineup week in and week out, they still have the opportunity to get 15, 20 matches under their belt in a season. And that obviously helps us a lot,
it does. It's got to help you develop, and that's what you're, in essence, doing is developing kids and everything else within our conference, which is really, we have some pretty tough competition. What does it look like as is it Tech Lords? Are they some of the tougher teams?
Yeah, so Indiana Tech, Marion, actually, they're an affiliate in wrestling.
Yeah,
that's not a typical WAC school in most sports. Possibly in football when they did that.
Well,
that other conference. I'm not 100% sure on that. Don't quote me.
That's all right.
Yeah, so Indiana Tech and Marion really are the two top schools in the conference. Tech is a top 15 program. Right. They've had some great wins at the national duels. They've performed well against a couple top five teams. Even
they're tough
a
in every
top
sport.
Five
they sure are.
They really are. Hate to say that,
but we got to take our hat off to them.
Yeah, we do. We do. We got to give them credit. You know, give credit where it's due, right? So, yep. So Tech and Marion really sit at the top of the conference, and then just beneath them, we're starting to see some pretty good wrestling out of schools like Lords,
yes.
Rochester. Cornerstone's building their program quickly.
Yeah.
They're coming on. We had a pretty good duel.
We had a battle
them.
With them, I saw.
We had a couple guys get a little bit banged up with some injuries earlier in the day, so we didn't have our strongest lineup out against them. Weren't able to accomplish the goal there. Still wrestled pretty tough. Then after those guys, I think Cleary, who's coming in tomorrow night to wrestle us, they're kind of sitting there towards the bottom of the conference, and we're really just scratching and clawing, trying to get our way up those rankings.
For our listeners, you know, we review stuff, and I do this just because what coach is talking about an affiliate member. The NAIA major conferences in Michigan and Indiana, a little bit of Ohio too, because both WAC and the Crossroads have schools in Ohio. Between us, we have, I don't know, 21, 22 total members. But the WAC's been more, I guess, innovative in developing conference sports and lacrosse and wrestling, things like that. So some of the Crossroad teams have joined the WAC in those conferences, women's lacrosse, men's lacrosse, wrestling. I'm probably forgetting a sport or two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Coach is talking about. In football, we had a whole separate conference that, you know, extended with Marion in it. But getting also, you know, back to, you know, what you were speaking about, and that is overall climate of wrestling for me. And, you know, me and Patrick, I always kid, you know, we've been around the block a little bit. But to look at wrestling from when I was in college, you know, my AA, I was at Adrian, and then my AA had a conference. And then for a long time, because of Title IX interpretation coach, wrestling went down. Now to see it at the collegiate level, at the small college collegiate mm-hmm. level, come back up, and to see programs at Cornerstone, Rochester, Cleary, that's, and even the MIAA, it's got to make you happy.
Yeah, 100%. Next year, even Defiance College in Ohio is coming into the NAIA once again. I believe they were in years ago.
Years ago,
correct?
Back in the
80s. Yeah. So they're coming back into the NAIA and will be joining the conference in wrestling as well. So there's another member for us.
Yeah, and I think that's just awesome for the sport, for all sports, but for the sport of wrestling in general. I mean, at the major college level, when you wrestle major college, it didn't change so much, you know, at the Big Ten and whatnot. But to see at the smaller college, and that's true of so many sports, and it gives kids just tremendous opportunities to, you know, like especially somebody like me. I mean, I went to college, but basketball was a major motivator, and then hey, man, I can get education too. You know, I really want to play basketball, you know? And we see that certainly with what's going on with you. So talk about tomorrow night. I mean, have we been home? I know we're at Adrian and mm-hmm. the crosstown thing. Have we wrestled at home this year yet?
We had an inter-squad scrimmage in October, but that's not necessarily a home date against against another opponent. So, yep, tomorrow night, Cleary is coming into town for a Wolverine-Hoosier Athletic Conference matchup, right?
What time?
That's going to start at 7:30 tomorrow in the field house. So first home match of the season, first home match 2024. We're looking forward to it.
You're at home for another one, right? You got a quad or something, or a tri coming right up.
Yep, so we're at home this Tuesday against Cleary, 7:30. Friday night, we're going to be at home as well against Henry Ford College at 7:30. Yeah. Got some JUCO guys coming down to campus to give some of our younger athletes a chance
great.
To compete as well. So, it'll appear to be a dual meet to everybody in the stands watching it, but it's going to be counted as extra matches.
Right.
So in the NAIA, we don't count competition against junior colleges, but it's still super beneficial for all involved.
Yeah,
right,
you
can't get those matches.
You know, it's like we call it, like a lot of people coach call it reserve. We always just call it a JV when I coach basketball. Our JV team, which is made of freshmen, sophomores, we played a lot of community colleges.
Yep.
Now, our varsity team could we could play exhibitions and whatnot and scrimmages. We just couldn't count them on our record.
Yeah.
But this is really about the developmental stuff you're talking about for these young kids, and that's awesome. And then you have a try the next week, right?
Yeah, so then the following Tuesday, which would be January the 16th, we've got a 7 p.m. match in the field house. And for that night, we are bringing in Rio Grande coming up out of Ohio. That's a non-conference. And they're going to be joining a WAC conference match against Rochester.
Wow, that's going to be awesome.
So we should have it should be a good time. The women's team at Siena is also going to be competing Friday night alongside us. And again on Tuesday the 16th. So it's just going to be a gymnasium full of wrestling. It's going to be a pretty good
tell
time.
Tell us, for people that are listening right now, want to come out and watch, this is going to be at the field house, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. And right in the middle?
In the middle, right on the main Fred Smith court, actually.
All right. Very good. So we'll get the mats out. And how many spectators do you usually get to some of your matches?
We've been pretty blessed. Wrestling in this area is fairly popular, sure, on the high school youth level. So we've been pretty blessed. I think every home match that we've had, it's been pretty packed.
So
I couldn't put a number on it, but you look around and it's full for us.
I got to tell you, last year, and I've been away 4 years, but I still work up there. And for some reason, I was in the back and I had to go into the field house. And I heard this yelling going on, right? I didn't know what was going on. And I still have my keys, so please don't strip me my keys. I walk in, and you guys, I think we're going against Lords, and it was back and forth, the crowd. I couldn't get over it, It was pretty special. It was a great environment. So, tomorrow night, hopefully, it's fun. And the people that love the sport, it's great, and that's the beauty of us and Adrian. There's a lot of wrestling lovers around here.
Well, it's great for high school kids that are in programs around the county to come on in and take a look at what's going on at the college level.
Yeah, 100%. And we try to invite them too, right? The other thing that's kind of interesting about wrestling, with the rise of mixed martial arts, right, mm-hmm. there are people who are casual fans of let's call it, and they don't know a ton about what's going on in a wrestling match. But when there's blood time and where there's guys getting tired or getting pushed around on the edge of the mat or a big slam occurs or something like that, they just love it. They go nuts. So they don't know how to cheer like they would at a basketball game, let's say, where everybody understands the gist of basketball.
Sure.
But it's still fun just having a casual person walk into the gym and scream their head off. So I love
it. Is there a correct way to root on your wrestlers?
Well, basically just if you...
Basically on a points basis.
Yeah. If you understood the scoring and how dominance is shown in different positions and how that changes the flow and the dynamic of a match, then that's really what I mean with an educated fan, we'll call them. Yeah, that might not even be a fair way to describe it, but someone that understands the sport of wrestling more, they cheer a little bit different than a casual does. Mm-hmm. But no matter who you are, you're going to ride the emotional roller coaster of the match. If you think a fast break in basketball happens quickly, wait till you see a reversal of position. That happens in the blink of an eye, right?
Coach, it's funny. I've talked a lot about this on the air the last couple of years because my grandson, I watched him wrestle high school 3 years. And, we're a hoop family. Now, my daughter married into a wrestling family. The dad, Xander, my grandson's grandfather, and their dad. So I join them down in Indiana for these matches. And they talk a different language, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
And then they're yelling things that I get the arm, I don't know what they're talking about, but what's really cool, they understand when a near fall is about to happen before it happens. You understand what I mean?
Exactly.
They know what's going on, and then it happens, and the excitement comes. Near fall, will they get it? They write it out, and will they get the extra points? And so I've been really silent on these because I don't want to say anything stupid, but it's really a mono. A mono, a woman on a mono. It's just man to man. You go at it, and that's what makes wrestling awesome to me. And it's what's so cool that I've enjoyed about it, and I've just watched a couple of ours, is the sportsmanship between the athletes. It's more of the fans that get all fired up. That those guys, they get after each other. They really respect each other.
Yeah, I think that we I don't want to use the word combat, but when we talk about physical sports like that, we do refer to them as a combative sport. So I think anytime that you have a combative type of sport, a lot of times there is a good level of respect. Yes. Now, when you get to professional level, yeah, you know, we have to promote, so we have all these fake arguments, sure, and things like that. But yeah, generally speaking, amateur combative sports, extremely respectful. Jiu-jitsu, judo, kickboxing, yeah, all that kind of stuff. Very respectful.
Now, when I was growing up as a kid, you know, I would watch wrestling, and it was always, you know, the 1, 2, 3, and you get the win. But that's not necessarily so in college wrestling now. It's basically if you pin the shoulder down, you have won the match.
Yeah, it's I don't want to say instant, but it's almost called as soon as it occurs. As soon as both those shoulder blades tap the mat, the match is done.
And again, talking again about a neophyte, a fan like me, mm-hmm, what's interesting is how these great athletes can avoid that in terms of they get caught in a bad spot. Could be a great wrestler, and that's what's really dramatic. It's an underdog that gets this great wrestler in a bad spot, and yet they're bridging and doing this stuff and just trying to get out or get to the sideline. It's really great stuff.
I like referring to it as like the great equalizer, right? Yeah. Wrestling is one of the few sports that has built a great equalizer into you know, how we determine winners and losers. So if it's a basketball game and you're down by 45, you are not going to win the game. Mm-hmm. Football game, you are not going to win the game, yeah, down by 40 points.
Right.
But in wrestling, you could be down by 14 points. 15 points, we stop the match as a mercy rule of sorts, right? You could be down by 14 points and throw that other person on their back and still win the contest. There's always a great equalizer. And
right,
for that reason,
there's a
lot,
Hail Mary.
There's still hope. Yeah, there's still a Hail Mary in any position, no matter how much time's on the clock.
Well, you know, and the other thing is I've noticed, and again, I'm sorry, there's no, you know, in basketball, there's always stalling. In football, we stall. Wrestling, they won't have it. You're like getting.
You're penalized.
Yeah, and I'm talking even in between. When they get to the side, they're back in the middle. There's no resting. So endurance becomes
paramount.
Paramount. Yep. I've noticed that, you know, where people, you know, how you delay things and there's no, the refs don't tolerate it.
Nope. I mean, you get hit for a penalty point if your shoe comes untied. Yeah. So
we're talking with Derek Mary, a wrestling coach at Siena Heights University for the men. And Derek, you were talking a few minutes earlier about, you know, you got 3 or 4 wrestlers for every weight class that you have. Is that the reason why you have 4 assistant coaches, plus you have a coordinator for recruiting?
Yeah, we tried to just surround ourselves with guys from the area that knew a lot about wrestling and cared a lot about wrestling. And it does help having that many guys around. Wrestling's also, it's interesting because we have these weight classes, right? And a different size man performs the sport differently.
Exactly.
If that makes sense. So we need a heavyweight to coach our heavyweights.
Yeah.
We need a small guy to coach our small guys. A medium-sized man to coach medium-sized athletes. So, yeah, it's very important to build as big a staff as you can, really.
You know, and again, what's so great about this show with Pat and I and Jeff and John is, in many sports, we've learned so much. For example, in esports,
mm-hmm,
you have an esports coach, but he can't possibly know Call of Duty or this and Rocket League, so they bring in assistants that are specialized in this game. Mm-hmm. Very similar to wrestling. I think that's why you can't, when you're having a practice, you can't coach 10, 20 people at one time, right?
I do the best I can.
But you understand, that's why you have these other guys. Yeah, I mean, we're in basketball, we're on one floor, certainly when we need a stage, but it's imperative in wrestling, because I do remember the days when the mats were right next to us when I was coaching, because I always told our guys, you want to act tough, we're heading over the wrestling mat, and the heavyweights over there, John, they would be wanting to get one of those skinny basketball players on the mat, but I say, you think you're tough, and you want to fight each other, let's go to the wrestling match. And nowadays, I'd probably get in trouble for that. But I noticed that with Coach Chenault and Charlie, that's who they had then. But they didn't have – you have built a staff, and I think that's awesome that you've done that.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we've worked hard at that, not just myself, but every time that we bring a new man on to help out, he's he's hitting the ground running, trying to find help for himself too, right? So just always constantly using that wrestling network, finding as many people as we can that want to contribute their time to help young men accomplish their goals.
All right, listening to Saint Sports Weekly, talking with varsity wrestling coach with us tonight, Derek Murray, and we got to take a break here for a couple of messages, but we'll be back to talk more wrestling here on Saint Sports Weekly.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Getting the kids to practice on time, remembering if it's your day to bring snacks, making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Hi, this is Marty Nine with Iyett Insurance in Blissfield. Give me a call at 517-486-4381.
At Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, Children's Services provides evidence-based therapeutic interventions such as parent management training, the organ model, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, also known as EMDR, and infant mental health. To access our services or utilize our 24/7 crisis line, please call 517-263-8905 or visit us at lcmha.org.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-through, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Welcome back into Saint Sports Weekly. Pat Hayes, Fred Smith with you tonight, talking with Derek Murray, the men's wrestling coach at Siena Heights University. And Derek, we were just talking during the break here about scoring. You know, maybe some of our listeners that are not too familiar with wrestling, tell us a little bit about how wrestling is scored.
Okay. So the match starts, we call it neutral because both men face each other, right? You're both on your feet. No one has a dominant position at that time, right? If I can take a man from his feet to the mat, gain control of him, we call it a takedown, right? So in college now, this was a new rule change this year. We're now awarding 3 points for a takedown, much different than high school, right?
I didn't know that.
Okay.
So if you take a man off of his feet in college, you get 3 points, right? If you can tip him over to his back, the referee is going to begin his count. You reach 1-2 count, you receive 2 points. If he gets to 3, you receive 3 points. If he gets to 4, you receive 4 points.
Hmm.
Let's say you were taken down. You scurry around, wrestle really hard, get out from the bottom position, get back to your feet. 1 point for the escape.
Escape.
Right? So those are the two really big ones that you see, or three, I should say, that you see a lot of in college wrestling.
And another dynamic one, and you can talk this, is when somebody has got somebody and then they reverse it.
Yeah, 100%. That's another score from the bottom position, right? Yeah. Let's say I was taken down and I somehow find my way on top of the other man, yeah, and I gain control of him. I receive 2 points for that. Right, okay. So that's what Fred was talking about earlier, where a wrestling fan who's seen a lot of it over their life, they can begin to see things start to happen before the points are even awarded.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, that's a great question, though, because it is kind of a strange scoring structure compared to other sports.
So there's an unlimited amount of points that a wrestler can get within that time limit, right?
So in a seven-minute match, a college seven-minute match, if you reach 15 points ahead of another man at any point in the contest, the official will stop it. Sort of a mercy rule, right?
Yeah, so, you know, a pin, and in high school, a pin is... How many points in a duel a pin is?
Oh, that's the same, high school and college.
So
a pin is worth 6 points on the team score.
Wow.
If you receive a technical fall, that mercy rule we spoke of, that's 5 points to the team score. if you beat the other person by 8 points, 8, 9, 10, anything less than 15, we call that a major decision, 14 points. A regular decision, any other type of victory outside of those extra bonus points, 3 points to the winning wrestler,
so,
to his team.
This is another question that you can maybe answer. And, you know, we all, at least I do, I watch a lot of Big Ten sports, and they have wrestling on there once in a while. And it's much more, as compared to high school, points are hard to come by.
Yeah.
You know, you might see a 3-2. Why is that? Is that because these guys are so good and they're so evenly matched?
Part of it, for sure. That is definitely part of it. One of the things that I've been thinking about lately is, you know, that's a great question. So in my head, I'm asking myself why. I think that part of it is when we develop young athletes in wrestling, every coach wants to show their offensive moves, show a kid how to collect points. You really don't start to learn proper defense until you get a little bit older.
Yeah,
and
right.
It drives some of
sense.
My guys nuts when they come in as a freshman, and you know they're an all-state wrestler, a state champion.
And they're attackers.
Yeah, and I tell them, well, you know, your fundamental baseline defense has to improve. And they look at me like I'm crazy, right? But compared to a 20-year-old college wrestler who's been putting in some time, your baseline defenses need to improve, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's the reason for those low-scoring in Big Ten college matches. Very difficult to collect points. They're very flexible, fast, strong, all that kind of
so
stuff.
So you have all of these weight classes, and you said you have 3 or 4 wrestlers for each of those weight classes. Does everybody wrestle, or do you just pick the top wrestlers in that particular group?
Generally speaking, a kid will kind of emerge as, we'll call him the starter, right? And he bears the bulk of the workload in high-level dual meets that will say count towards conference rankings, national rankings, things like that. The other guys still get a chance to compete. A lot of times what we'll do is extra matches in a varsity dual meet, so they don't count to the team score, but they do count to the athlete's overall record. We also go to a lot of open tournaments. They're individual-based. Unlimited entries to the weights, so I can put all three guys in. And then sometimes what we do too is we'll move guys around. So you might be a 157 pounder and you might get to compete a couple times at 165 pounds.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
So we can also do that. You can't move lower than your weight class, but you can move higher.
So how many times can a wrestler wrestle within a meet?
I think the limit is, I want to say it's 6 matches in a day.
Wow, that's a lot.
In high school, we only allow them 5. Mm-hmm. 5 maximum.
Yeah.
So as you had mentioned, coaches, some of your student-athletes are either being ranked by the NAIA or whatnot. Talk about that, but really, how do you qualify for nationals? Is it how you did in conference? It used to be... years ago, I'm going 40 years ago, you had to win 2/3 of your matches and do this. And then there was a set of a criteria. What is the criteria now to get to NAIA Nationals?
If any of the listeners are familiar with NCAA Division I wrestling, it is the exact same format. So over the course of a year, you know, you accumulate some wins, some losses. Some of them are against strong opponents, weak opponents, you know, whatever you want to say. What happens is there's a coaches panel that meets multiple times throughout the season, and they go
rank.
Over all of that, and they come up with a ranking to the top 25. If you are ranked in the top 25 heading into the conference tournament, you're given an automatic allocated spot to the Nationals. But you have to defend that at the conference tournament. So if you have a bad day, another wrestler that did not qualify the automatic spot can steal it from you.
Wow.
Every conference champion from every conference in the country gets an automatic. Yeah. If you win the conference tournament, you will go. But at other weights, there might be 2, 3, 4, even 5 other guys in the conference.
That are good.
They're in the national rankings. So even though you're 5th in the conference, you're ranked 25th in the country, you're going to the Nationals.
So it's not like the NFL where you can take a week off.
Not necessarily. I mean, guys try to do it, right? It's a little bit of a political game anytime that you have panels and ratings and things like that.
How many
some guys dodge?
Is there one panel for all the weight classes involved?
Correct, yep. So what happens is each conference elects a man, one of their coaches, to go and represent the conference.
Much like our ratings committees for basketball and that, usually they
100%.
Have one. We have one whack person on that rating committee. And, boy, that is quite – I mean, that's a prestigious position. That's time-consuming.
It definitely is. And I you know, big shout outs to the head coach from Marion. He's the one that does that for our conference, and I talk to him, and some nights it's a 3 a.m. job. So I do appreciate him for doing that.
Well, and again, it's very interesting, because how do you compare somebody five states away with no common opponents? You see, that's the hard thing about NAIA versus NCAA1. You'll see Arizona, for example, maybe play Michigan State or something, you know, and well, very rarely are we going to wrestle these people unless we go to big tournaments. So that's the hardest thing, and about the whole national tournament thing. But who are the guys that have done, you know, that you want to talk about? Because I know we have somebody here we want to interview.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of the guy that we've got on the team right now that's leading the way, Randy Fraley at 133 pounds. He's sitting at 16-1 on the year.
Wow.
Currently ranked number 22 in the national rankings. Has been as high as, I think, 17, 18. Yeah, and his only loss of the season is to the number one wrestler in Division II.
Wow.
So he's been competeting very well.
Where's Randy from, Coach?
Randy's from Hanover Horton High School.
Yes, so I think we've had him on.
Yep, yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think in the past he did jump on with us. So, yep, he's wrestling really well.
And what year is he?
Randy is a junior academically and a sophomore athletically.
Okay.
Yep. Outside of Randy, next guy kind of coming up there is Alejandro Castro. He's currently sitting at 11-6, just outside of the national rankings. Of those six losses, I was doing this earlier, I was going through all of his stats. Five of his six losses have came to men that are currently ranked, were ranked at one time this season, or are a returning national qualifier.
Wow.
So we've wrestled as tough a competition as we could find, basically. Right. And you were right in that earlier comment. It's tough to see people from other parts of the country.
Yeah.
So that's why we go on the road to Iowa, and we go on the road to Kentucky, and we head down to Tennessee, and try to get out to Missouri Valley if we can.
Yes, right.
So this kind of all culminates with the WAC tournament, which will be at Marion in February. Is that correct?
Correct. I want to...
It's February 10th.
February the 10th, yep. That was what I had in my head, but I wasn't 100% sure. I sometimes forget
dates. Nationals is probably 1st of March? Or
yep, first weekend in March is the national tournament.
And where's that this year?
It's going to be in Kansas this year. Yep. So we'll have to take a little trip out there.
So hopefully we'll have some wrestlers...
hopefully a couple. Involved.
Yeah, that's great. We're talking with head wrestling coach Derek Merry here on Saints Sports Weekly. And let's bring in one of our wrestlers here. Alex Castro is in studio with us as we'll just flip around chairs here. And Alex, come on over here and get in front of that microphone. And now you're a transfer into Siena Heights. Tell us your background in wrestling.
Yes, sir. So my background in wrestling, I started in eighth grade. Wrestled for a school called Wawasee High School, and that is located in Indiana. And from there, I wrestled my past 4 years over at Defiance College.
Oh.
And as you guys know, COVID kind of knocked out a season for us.
Right.
So got an extra year of eligibility, and I found a great path with Coach Merry and a couple other assistant coaches, and got me up here and, you know, using my talent to the best of my ability here.
Wonderful.
How long, when did you transfer? Oh.
I transferred this year. I would say I touched base on campus around late July, early August.
And so, and we'll get back to your high school experience, but I have to ask this, what do you, so when you transferred, are you a grad transfer or are you still finishing your undergrad?
So I'm still finishing my undergrad.
And what are you majoring in?
Business marketing.
Good for you. That's congratulations.
That's great.
Thank you.
Will you be done?
So I should be done this upcoming fall.
Good. And this is your last year of eligibility.
Yes, sir. Sadly.
Okay. And, you know, getting a background on you, but I want our listeners to know, again, I always talk about my grandson, the unique thing about Indiana is, and you wrestled there, there's no classes in Indiana. Right? So when you,
right.
I mean, it's like the old, state there's tournament. No, it used to be A, B, C, D, now it's 1, 2, 3, 4, I think, right, Coach? But talk about that experience in Indiana. I witnessed it with my grandson. It's unique.
So Indiana, tournament wrestling is tough. So to be able to make it to the state tournament, you have to go through many different levels, I'd say. So you start off as competing in sectionals.
Sectionals.
Then from the sectional tournament, you have to, I believe, place there, and you go to regionals.
Regionals.
Regionals, you have to place top three.
And you go to semi-state.
And then you go to semi-state.
Semi-state.
Semi-state is not really known too much. I don't believe there's a semi in Michigan or Ohio. So it adds another tournament in there. That tournament, you have to win your first two. If you lose any of your first two, you're out of the tournament. And then following the semi-state, you got your state tournament. And from there, you just go on your little run.
Yeah, and that's difficult because, you know, it's class-less wrestling in that, you know, watching my grandson his last 2 years, he did that, just as you said, when he played sectionals, regionals, and got knocked out at semi-state. He couldn't make that, but that's the cream, you know.
Right.
Who are the big schools around you?
I would say the big schools around me were Evansville, Warren Central.
Yeah.
Other than that, my high school did make a name for themselves as I was going through.
No kidding.
And that is Wallasey High School. Shout out to Jamie Salazar and Frank Bumgarner. Those are two of my head coaches. Really put on for our hometown.
How big a high school is that?
Let's see. It's a 4A high school. Yeah. So kind of like how you mentioned before, the divisions and levels.
Yeah.
This would be right below the top notch of 5A.
Okay, okay. And I just curious. But I would liken that with my grandson that if you had sectionals, and it'd be all Lenawee County. Adrian would be the big school, you know, and then it's really kind of unique, but it does add a layer. So when you got there, did you know you were going to wrestle in college, and what got you to Defiance? Was it wrestling, or was it academics? Or?
So to start, I did not believe I was going to wrestle in college. I kind of wanted to join the military, to be honest, you know, just represent my country and just try my best to – be a role model citizen, help out my community any way I could. But my mom didn't really let that slide. So we found a better cause in wrestling, and I originally wanted to do football. I was a multi-sport athlete, football, track, and wrestling. But football, there was just too many injuries, as you know, like head injuries, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's hurt the participation at high school level.
Yep. Ended up playing football in college, though. So,
did you? You played over at Defiance?
Yep, played football last year at Defiance. So I was able to wrestle and play football, which was pretty nice. Finished my senior season off wrestling and playing football.
What positions did you play in football?
I was a safety. Yep, safety, almost an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
They call it the star position. Yeah. So it's pretty awesome.
So, Alex, tell us, what's the difference been between wrestling in Indiana and coming up here to Michigan?
That's a tough one. I would say for Michigan, it is very community involved. In Indiana, everything's so far spread apart. You got to deal with a lot of the cornfields, you know, the bean fields. So there's a big distance between schools and support, I'd say. So I would say the wrestling support here in Michigan, especially the small town like Adrian, Hudson area, there's a ton of growing support in wrestling. Like, it is awesome to see all the schools and how large they are compared to Indiana schools.
What's your general opinion been of Siena in terms of not just wrestling but academically and adjusting to having been at, you know, Defiance for a while?
So to start, I would say it's an amazing college. Like, if you are looking for an education, this is definitely one of the spots to go to. The professors, they don't take things lightly. So when I say that, they want you to get your degree and will get you to get your degree. They'll do anything they can to get you that degree, whether that be extra study sessions, open classrooms, you know, just any opportunity they can hand out, they will. So that's really nice. A lot of staff support, small classrooms type of thing. But comparing the differences between Defiance and Siena, I would say it is the staff support. Staff support really helps out a lot.
Who are some of the people that have made an impact on you at Siena? Some of the, you know, staff or faculty that.
So number one, I would say Coach Mary for honestly giving me the chance and the opportunity to wrestle. And without him, none of this would be possible.
Right, right.
Number two, I would say Joseph Rabb. He is a religious studies
excellent
professor.
Faculty member.
Oh, man. Really great guy. Taught me a lot so far and always willing to help outside of school, too.
We got to take a break here, but we're talking with Alex Castro, a member of the Siena Heights men's wrestling team, coached by Derek Mary. And we'll be back to talk more with Alex. First, let's pause for a couple of messages and a reminder that you are listening to Saint Sports Weekly here on Inside the Cave.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
If you're looking to truly make a positive impact on the community, consider a career at Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority. We're seeking dedicated individuals to join our team and provide essential mental health services to our community. Your skills and empathy will be the key to helping individuals on their path to resilience, recovery, wellness, and self-determination. Make a difference where it matters most and be a force for positive change. Apply online at lcmha.org or find us on Indeed. Master's and bachelor's level social workers are highly encouraged to apply.
Attention all students, parents, and educators. It's that time of year again, back to school season. Are you ready to start the new academic year with blazing fast internet? Look no further than D&P Communications, your local internet service provider.
Whether you're attending school on campus or from the comfort of your home, with D&P you get up to gig speeds from a company you can trust. Switch to D&P Communications by visiting our website or calling 800-311-7340.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-thru, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Welcome back into Saint Sports Weekly. Pat Hayes, Fred Smith with you. And we're talking with Alex Castro, a member of the Siena Heights men's wrestling team. And Alex, I think Coach said you're one of the captains this year.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about your responsibilities as a captain.
So responsibilities being the captain of the Siena Heights men's wrestling team, I say it just comes with school and just making sure you're on top of things 24/7. Like you may not always be the life of the party. You know, obviously you got to burn. You know, you got to do what you have to do with the guys sometimes. You know, tell them, hey, this is what we got to do flat out. But yeah, number one thing is just make sure everyone's working hard and staying on top of their grades. Other than that, it's pretty easy. The guys make it easy for me.
What type of leader would you say you are? Some guys, you know, they're this outgoing type leader. Other guys are leaders that don't say much. They lead by example, and when they do speak. So what type of leader are you?
Oh, man. So I'd say we have so many great leaders on this team. It's honestly ridiculous. And a lot of these guys, they're not as vocal leaders. So shout out to Randy Fraley and shout out to Brandon Rao. Those are two other captains. Those guys, they don't have to say a word in the wrestling room. They don't have to, you know, do just about anything. All they have to do is just work. And their work ethic speaks for it, you know. For myself, I'd like to say I'm more of a vocal leader. I try to get everyone around and, you know, at the same time, just still putting in that work.
Mm-hmm. One of the big buzzwords in team sports now and sports in general is called culture. You know, you hear that. These coaches are new, they want to establish their culture. So and you're, you know, you've been, you're one of the unique guys. You've been, you know, a heck of a high school guy in a couple of sports, and in college in a couple of sports. Now you're at Siena. How do you think the culture, Coach Mary's culture, is doing, and what are we doing well here, and what do we got to continue to improve on?
So we're doing, honestly, I'd say everything pretty well over here at Siena. The guys are coming together really well. We're taking team trips. Our most recent one was out in Tennessee, just honestly seeing beautiful things. It's something I wish every high schooler would be able to see, is, you know, through our eyes. So one thing I always try to do when I go back home is to explain to, like, my younger siblings or just younger people in the community, like, there's more to life out there, and college sports really brings a big part of that. We get to go experience, you know, different states. We get to travel and meet different people, do things that you would have never honestly imagined or dreamed of.
Well, when you're talking about culture, you know, when you were answering that question, in my mind, Southeastern Michigan is a wrestling culture. I mean, there are a lot of high school teams that do very well in wrestling around here, and a great feeder program for the universities and colleges around here. So, you know, I think we have established that as far as a community.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I can hope for is it just keeps growing here, right, especially at Siena. There's a really strong backbone with Coach Mary here and a few other assistant coaches. The only thing I can do is just, you know, keep hoping and praying it keeps growing. Yep.
So Coach mentioned that you have a, you know, a strong record, 11-6, and I think five of the six guys you lost to were either ranked or were All-Americans. And talk about your journey and what do you got to do to get to nationals, and what are your, I guess, most overall goals and immediate goals in the next, well, it's really 1 month left till you get to, really a month and 2 days till you get to that conference meet, which means everything.
Right. Oh, man, it's been a journey. It has been a journey. Waking up every single morning, running 12 miles straight for the entire summer. I think I probably took 1 or 2 days off of a 12-mile run. On top of that, just regular lifting and wrestling.
That's a long way.
Yeah, it is. It's been tough. And, like, just looking back, the good thing is once you get that work out of the way, you can always reach back in that bag and, you know, do the same work that you've done before. So it's nice. I call it a little cookie jar type of thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about working out what you have to do to continue to keep yourself in shape for this sport. And you just mentioned running 12 miles a day. Obviously, there are other things too. A lot of weightlifting and other type moves that you are, I don't know, explain to what you have to do to be a good wrestler.
To be a good wrestler, I'd say it really just starts with nutrition, your work ethic, and how bad you really want it. A lot of times we talked about different positions you may get in for reversals or scoring points. A lot of that stuff just comes down to how bad you really want it. And so going into this national run with 1 month left, I'm really just thinking, how bad do I really want it? So I've been waking up just about 5 a.m. I actually started 2 days ago waking up at 5 a.m. Now I'm running 6 miles. I hope to keep it every single day on top of that with my wrestling practices. But as you guys know, seasons get long. We're on our second half of the season, so injuries are coming along and stuff like that. So now it's just staying healthy, making sure my nutrition is on point. So eating what I have to eat to make my specific weight class, that's probably the hardest part. But
what's the most common injury that a wrestler sustains?
I'd say the knees. Guys get tangled up so much. Knees get interlocked every specific way, and, you know, we got blown ACLs, MCLs, and it's tough. One of the most established wrestlers in the country, his name is Spencer Lee. This guy's been through 3-4 ACL tears, and he's still one of the top dogs in the nation.
He's a guy who wants it.
Yeah. Really, how bad do you want it? And,
So tomorrow night, you'll be wrestling against Cleary tomorrow night?
So tomorrow night.
No, you will not. Okay.
I will not be wrestling.
Right, that's
I'm dealing with a broken hand. But,
oh, my goodness.
Hopefully, I'll be back the 16th if I don't make it out then.
For possibly the try?
Rio and Rochester.
Rochester, yeah. Right. So, you know, it kind of reminds me of one of Michigan linebackers. He's got, I think, casts on both his hands, 25 his name. But, you know, you got, you know, but with wrestling, you have to have the use of the hands. So how long, when did you hurt this hand?
I hurt this hand about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'd say, in our last tournament, which was in Tennessee.
Right.
Had a really good showing there. Just got to keep improving from there on out. But, yeah, hurt that hand, and now it's just time to, you know, how bad do you want
and
it?
And 57 is a tough weight class, right?
Oh, yeah. 57 is a tough weight class. And I'd say specifically for myself, the toughest part would be getting down to the weight. Would be the weight cut involved.
Yeah. So you know when you're out of wrestling season, like this summer, you walk around 175 or?
Yeah, 175. That's right on the dot, I'd say.
Wow, that's a lot of weight to lose in a short period of time.
Right.
Well, and you get yourself down there, because last year we did a, I don't know if you, I think it was Jeff was on the show. We did a whole educational thing on weight. Loss and what the, you know, and how the NAIA and the state of Michigan has really curtailed a lot of things. And I don't want to go into that now. So, but you have to get your total self down to a certain time, you know. But so your goal is, I'm guessing your goal is to try to do well at the conference meet and get to nationals, right?
Yep. Goal is to hopefully steal out one of those top ranking spots and make the nationals. Heck yeah.
Well, that's a great goal, and I just want to know how you balance school along with athletics. I know that's time management is very, very important.
So balancing school and athletics, it may seem tough, but if you can wake up and put your shoes on every day, you could turn in an assignment is kind of how I see it. Yeah, practices might get long and the weight cut might stink a little bit, but you're student first, and then athletics second. It's kind of what's going to guide you through life. You got to make sure you're on top of things. If you're a business major, you got to make sure your sales part is good, your management's good. So definitely academics come first.
So what do you plan to do after you graduate with that business major?
After I graduate from Siena, I will probably dabble into sales again. I was recently selling cars for Buick and GMC.
No kidding.
Yes, sir. Heck yeah.
Where at?
In Defiance. Yep, over at Steichman Buick.
Yeah, very good.
You know, we call it, with our guys, I always call it PME, right?
Right.
Planning, management, evaluation, everything, you know, in your life. You know, we would try to teach you guys, certainly, but you being a car salesman, you've already been through that with monthly goals and weekly goals, and that's really cool. And so you kind of know what you want to do. And have you had a chance during, and it's hard for our audience to do any type of internship when you're playing a sport that has two semesters of participation. Do you understand what I mean? So our baseball guys maybe, or our softball ladies, they know in the fall they maybe can do an internship, right, even though there is off, but you're competing. Have you ever had an internship or a co-op in your academic career at all?
So I did dabble into a little bit of internship. I was running a small business, actually, in Defiance last year. I was running a putt-putt golf center.
An entrepreneur.
On top of that, I also did establish my own business on auto detailing. So.
Oh, yeah, man. I could have used talking to you about the shape of my car.
And that's kind of what got me into my car sales. So,
sure.
Yeah, I actually snuck into the owner's office and was like, hey, this is how I can help your business. I run auto detailing. Can you get me in your detailing side? Got me in the detailing side. He liked my work. It's like, hey, this is what I can do for your marketing side. Let me jump in your sales.
And again, it's how much do you want it?
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's great. That's a great analogy there, and business and athletics. So you've got some meets coming up here. We've got the one with Cleary that you will not be wrestling at, but then on Friday, January 12th, and Tuesday the 16th, you've got some matches there. And how do you think the team's going to do?
Amazing. Top to bottom, amazing. A lot of the work the guys have been putting in, it's starting to show, and I feel like our potential is just through the roof. We just got to bring it out of us.
Hey, Coach, can you come on back up here for a second? You guys share the mic. So talk about some other, you know, you mentioned a couple of your stars, other guys that in the last couple minutes that we got that have done a good job or maybe surprised you or, you know, had a good year.
Yeah, one guy that kind of sticks out in my mind, I'm sure that the Chop over here would think the same thing. Cameron Beach at 125, freshman, right? And he's small for 125 pounds. He has weighed in at 122 a few times. So that's a heck of a thing to be giving up weight to older guys. And that kid has really started to kind of put some stuff together. And he's got a good practice partner too, right? It's always helpful when your practice partner's nationally ranked. Yeah. So, yeah, he's really he's made some pretty remarkable strides in the last couple of weeks. And I think heading down the stretch here, he's going to flip some results and really surprise some people at the conference tournament. But that's – he's just one of many, right? We've been making leaps and bounds in the practice room. So I'm really excited for the guys coming down the stretch.
Yeah. Any other wrestlers that you'd like to talk about maybe?
I think probably one of my favorite guys, and I think that Alex would definitely agree with this, is our buddy Brandon Rao. Yeah, and I think Brandon was on
he
here
was
with
on.
Us,
he
wasn't
was definitely
he?
On.
So Brandon's a Tecumseh grad.
He's a Tecumseh and, grad. He was great.
Brandon's had an up-and-down kind of roller coaster type of wrestling career even in high school coming in. Suffered some pretty wild injuries, neck injuries, ankle injuries, things like that. And so he's had very limited experience with full seasons of wrestling. And it just seems like he keeps getting better and better every day at practice. And as soon as he can kind of bridge that gap between practice and competition and show his full self when he hits the mat under the lights, I think that's going to be something pretty special. So shout out to him and his family from Tecumseh.
All right. Well, and I know you've got a lot of other guys that are putting in the work, and some of those are your assistant coaches. Why don't we give a little shout out to those guys, because I know they work very, very hard.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll start off with Isaiah Espinoza, because he's a name that most people in the county would probably recognize, Adrian, Michigan native. So shout out to him. He had a college teammate that came over this year, started helping us out a little bit, Donald Moses III. Donald's from the Flint area, Adrian college grad. Doug Cure is our recruiting coordinator. Mm-hmm. Doug's been with me for a few years now. Actually, ever since I showed up, Doug's been helping me out with recruiting. Yeah. And then a guy that came over here with Mr. Castro is Rudy Corpus. Rudy is from the Wauseon area. He wrestled in college. He's coached at Defiance College before. Been on staff with some really good coaches that are now currently running the program at Tiffin, Coach Tony G. So shout out to Rudy. He's helping us out a lot this year. He went down to Texas to recruit in the McAllen area right there by the border. He's been down to tournaments in Ohio for us. So he's really helping us out a lot in that way.
Well, we are just about out of time, but Derek, we want to thank you for coming in, talking wrestling with us to the novices here on Inside the Cave and Saints Sports Weekly.
Yeah, it's
Fred,
been great.
Any closing comments from you?
No, I'm anxious to, you know, it's hard nowadays, us townies or local people, I've been here my whole life, we used to rely on our old Adrian telegram to give us the next day stuff. Now we have to get on the Cave website or the Siena Heights website, right, to get quick results if we can't make it to the match, you know. So I guess I would tell our listeners to, I don't know, look at shusaints.com and what's our Cave?
965thecave.com.
Good.
That's where you got to go. And that's going to wrap it up for Saints Sports Weekly. Again, thank you to Derek Murray, head wrestling coach at Siena Heights, and our special guest today, Alex Castro, one of the members of that team. Thank you again, Alex, for coming in. And we'll see you back here again next week for Saints Sports Weekly. Pat Hayes, Fred Smith saying, have a great evening and enjoy that Michigan victory tonight.